Today on Real Radio.
As parents, all of us fool ourselves emotionally into thinking that that child belongs to us. That child was loaned to us. That child belongs to God. We're to pray for them. And you got to leave them in the hands of God. And for a parent, that's one of the hardest things to do.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series that's taken from chapter 9. Remember, the period of the Judges is a volatile one in the history of Israel, as this section of the Old Testament illustrates. It also shows how times haven't changed as the nation continues to live under continuous threat from her neighbors. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called Kingdoms in Conflict.
Awesome, great things that happened in the life of Gideon, who brought about great things for God's kingdom. And we don't need to review the ministry and the life of Gideon. He is now dead. And after his death, great confusion broke out after he died. And kind of everybody began to fend for themselves. But one guy who, if you remember, Gideon had 70 sons. And one of those guys was through a concubine. That is I'm not going to describe what a concubine is, but he had a concubine who produced to him a man by the name of Abimelech. And that guy is trouble with a capital T. And Abimelech is a man that is very self-centered. We saw last time in part one of this message, he was a man of ambition. He was a man that pursued things to his own glory. And he began to manipulate people by deceit. And so Abimelech seized, as it were, the kingdom. It was not a kingdom given to him by God. He stole the kingdom. And you see that a lot in the workings of the flesh. We see it a lot in ministry. Families can be looking like they're getting along, and then there's a funeral, there's a death in the family, or money. Somebody wins the lottery, which is kind of bizarre to me that Christians would play the lottery. Do you know that? The money that you and I have, that's not our money to gamble with. But somebody wins the lottery, or somebody comes into money. Rich uncle so-and-so dies and leaves them a bundle. All of a sudden, people begin to go at each other's throats. I've seen it happen. And people begin to vie for power and for position. And everybody looked so sweet until greed comes upon them. And brother, it's like a cat fight. The fur is flying, name calling. And the truth comes out. Why? Because in the human heart, it's either your kingdom or God's kingdom. Oh, believe me, there will be a kingdom. And where God's kingdom is not, man's kingdom will be. And we know this, all of us have seen this, either in families or maybe in a company or at work, the power plays, the struggles. The Bible challenges us, church, over and over again, that we do what we do for God by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by our own strength. The Bible says in Zechariah 4, verse 6, a very familiar verse to Calvary Chapel. So he answered and said unto me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God's Holy Spirit is to do the work. Our great example of God's Spirit doing the work is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, a great day, the great day of Pentecost, when the church was born. It says there in Acts 2, verse 1, that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that they were all together in one accord, that is in one mind, united in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were gathered together. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And that doesn't mean it was fire. It just looked like and it sat upon them as firewood. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The day of Pentecost, the church was born, the Spirit of God filled the church, filled the believer, and the ministry was marked by power. And from that moment on, those early believers went out and they witnessed and they preached and they taught and they served and they loved and they did what God told them to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have a human kingdom manipulating things and have the Holy Spirit be in control. But the Bible also warns us, not only challenges us by doing things and to do things by the power of the Spirit of God, but warns us against the power of the human spirit, to be on guard against the things of the flesh. And in contrast, the Bible says in Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are evident. Now listen, this is the fleshly kingdom. Which are these? Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, warfare or contention, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger. That is a temper that is unregulated, out of control. Disputes. That's the flesh. That's a human kingdom. Dissensions. Factions. We don't use the word factions as much as we would use cliques. Cliques. It's carnal. It's of a human kingdom. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and the like, Paul said, of which I forewarned you, just as I've told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because there's no room for the kingdom of God in their life. They're living for these other things. There's a kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of the flesh. And I reminded you last time together that this chapter, chapter 9, is a big chapter of Judges. And it's divided into three areas. And I want you to be reminded of that. What we saw last time regarding kingdoms that are conflicting is that there's an attempt of seizing of the kingdom. We saw that in verses 1 to 21. The seizing of the kingdom. And we saw this man, Abimelech, do that very thing. Tonight, we're going to look at verses 22 to 29. And that is the defending of the kingdom. We'll talk about that. And then in part three of this message, next time, we'll be looking at how the kingdom is lost, the losing of the kingdom. So as we look through our study tonight, mark it down, just one point this evening, but it's very important. Verses 22 to 29, the defending of the kingdom. When you have a kingdom in conflict, that is, you have a kingdom now that is outside of God's desire and God's will. It's a human effort. What do you see? What can we learn from what's going on? We understand this. Verse 22, that after Abimelech had reigned over Israel 3 years, God sent a spirit of ill, or a demonic spirit, between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. They were once his buddies. That the crime done to the 70 sons of Gideon might be settled and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who aided in the killing of his brothers. And the men of Shechem set men in ambush against or on the hilltops there, and they robbed all who passed by. So there's this lying in wait, as it were, among those who were on the way. And it was told Abimelech. Church, mark this down. The defending of the kingdom. What kind of kingdom? A fleshly kingdom, defending what is not your own is always a losing battle. Mark it down. Listen, when you defend a kingdom that you create, you've got to defend it, but it's not your own. It can never be your own. Why? Because God's kingdom is the only kingdom that is power, that will endure, and that is right. When we start to concoct things and stew things up that is of our own making, our own little world, our own thing, as Abimelech did, note this, point number two in our study, first mention, defending what is not yours becomes impossible. Mark that, note that. If you go about like Abimelech to try, as we saw last time, to steal, to connive, to work about through ambition, and deception and manipulation as he did, if you get it that way, you are going to be trying to defend something that you cannot keep. It's the way that it is. when someone crawls, climbs, steals, kills, murders, lies, cheats to get something in life, maybe it's a position, maybe it's that thing or that person or that place. You've done it your way, you've left God out of it, and you've gone after it. You know what you have to do? You have to maintain that if you're going to keep it. It's the work of the flesh. The amazing thing is, you can't defend that. Listen, here's the troubling thing, and we get fooled as humans. If we, now watch this, this goes against our human grain, our human nature. If you have to connive to get something, then you have to connive to keep it. You will be attacked or ridiculed or criticized, but because you had to steal, rob, and kill to get it, and to do those things to defend it, when you get questioned, attacked, or whatever, you will come out with a vengeance as Abimelech will be doing shortly, and you will just chop down people, attack people, and you'll cut them off at the knees because you'll be very defensive and you'll be very, very almost paranoid or critical. Why? Because all of the things that you have in your little clutch of eggs that you have brought by your own power has not been of God. Well, how do I know, Pastor, if that's going on in my life? Because you worry about it. You lose sleep over it. It consumes you. Whenever you and I are involved in something like that, and look, this happens to all of us to some degree or another. You say, well, Pastor, it's not that bad in my life. Hallelujah, it's not that bad in your life, and it's not that bad in my life. But there's always that temptation that when something comes along, watch, Christian, this is one of our curses. We go to grab it. God's doing a great thing with it. We go to grab it, and we hold it, and we wind up choking it. Have you ever seen a little kid? They're like 2 or 3 years old, and they want to hold the baby ducky. Now, have you ever seen, this is kind of perverse. Only parents know this. You never let a little kid hold a baby duck or a little baby chick. Why? They'll go like this. Have you seen them? Or the puppy. They go like this. And the little thing just starts dying. First of all, the kid doesn't know, you know, what he's doing. And they think it's so cute. I think he just wants to squeeze it to death, you know. But they begin to hold it so tight and grip onto it that they take the life out of it. And people in ministry do that to spiritual work. At least they're tempted to. You can start a business. And instead of delegating things out and letting that business grow and flourish and let people listen, let people that you've delegated things out to make their mistakes. It's okay. They've got to learn. It's all right. If you don't do that, you will strangle it and you'll kill it. But in Abimelech's life, this guy stole the kingdom and now he's got to manipulate to keep it. You don't ever want to live like that. If you're living like that, you got to get that fixed. I hope this blesses you. I never lose a minute's sleep regarding this church. I may lose a minute's sleep about something else, but not this church. God started this. It's overwhelmingly obvious to me and those who were with us, and many of you are here tonight who were with us at the very start, 17 years ago. He started it. He did it. He's doing it. If he wants it to keep going, that's his business. If he wants to end it, it's his business. I don't worry about it. Tonight, listen, by the time you get home tonight, I could probably possibly be asleep before you get home. Because when I get home, you can ask Lisa, my head hits the pillow, I'm out. I'm not going to worry. I'm not holding it. I don't do it. The same is true. God wants to be like that in your family. He wants to be like that in your business. He wants to be like that in your marriage. He wants to be like that with your kids. It's all his. I just told a parent recently, you've got to let that child of yours be in the hands of God. It's so hard. Of Of course it's hard, but listen, I got a real revelation for you. You can't heal that child. Only God can do it. You're called to pray. Pray for that kid. Pray and pray again and then pray again. But that child belongs to God. And I know as parents, all of us fool ourselves emotionally into thinking that that child belongs to us. That child was loaned to us. That child belongs to God. We're to pray for them. And you got to leave them in the hands of God. And for a parent, that's one of the hardest things to do. Because that love God put in our hearts to love them. But always keep a very light touch on the things that God owns. And Abimelech, no, he was not willing to do that. He had ambition and deceit, which led to manipulation. Defending what is not yours is a terrible place to be in because you're on your own. That's a sad thing. Christian, listen, when someone sins, by the way, think of this. When someone sins, as Abimelech is sinning and had been for a while, when someone sins or does wrong, it will in some way eventually affect you and I. What I mean by that is someone will say, how can that be? First of all, the Bible says in Romans 14:7 that no one lives to himself and no one dies to himself. You need to remember that. You and I can be thinking that, well, it's just my life. Abimelech has got ambition, and it's all going to come crashing down because he got to his position by deceit to manipulate. It's going to come upon his head soon. What the sin was in Abimelech's mind and heart began to affect an entire nation. Look, I don't care what your opinion is on what I'm about to say. I'm not bringing this up for political reasons at all. But many years ago, when there was a certain crime committed in the Oval Office under another president, when I say crime, it was a security breach. I am not talking about the sexual stuff that went on. I'm not talking about all that stuff. I'm not even talking about that. I am talking about the breach of security in our White House. I'm just talking legal right here. It was against the law for a person that had only that clearance to be in the Oval Office with the commander in chief and citizen number one of this nation for national security issues. It was illegal for that person of that low status to be in that room with that man alone, just on national security issues alone. Forget about the immorality. I'm not talking about that. Something could have happened in that room that night or that day or whatever that could have led to that president's death, which would have directly affected your life. Think about it. I'm not talking about right, wrong, Republican, Democrat. Forget that. Think, what one person decides affects others. And you and I are tempted to be thinking thoughts when Satan comes knocking on our door to offer to us maybe some sort of self-gratifying ambition that we begin then to use deceit to bring about what's going to satisfy us. And what happens? We wind up manipulating. Abimelech did that. In our day and our age, somebody would say things like this. Well, if it doesn't affect me, I don't care what goes on. Watch this. I can't tell you how incredibly naive and myopic that thought process is. You want to know why? You can say something today about what you may be doing. I'm not talking about you. I'm just making this up right now. I'm not talking to you. If the Holy Spirit's talking to you, then he's talking to you. But nobody called me and said, hey, this guy's going to be here tonight, so say this. No one told me nothing. I'm just saying that if you think that you can do your thing and not hurt anybody, it's impossible. Impossible. Well, nobody knows. First of all, God knows. Second of all, the Bible promises us your sin shall find you out. You know what that means? You ever seen those Eat at Joe's restaurant signs, neon? It's red neon. It's got a finger like this. It goes, And God says, I love you so much that if you don't repent, if you don't come to me, I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. And he'll do it. Say, Pastor, what I'm doing, nobody knows about. Are you a Christian? Yep. then hang on to your seat because God's going to go, you right there, row 49, aisle 3. He'll do it. Why? Because if you belong to him and you won't repent of it, he'll make it public. So stop it. Are you flirting with Bubbles or Rocky at work? Stop it. Stop. You know, listen, do you have a stack of erasers that you somehow inadvertently stolen from the office? Take them back. You say, erasers? Hey, you didn't buy those erasers. You stole them. Take them back. Whatever it is, what's he talking to you about? And what is it in your life? There may be something. Abimelech didn't have this conscience. He was building his own kingdom. Very dangerous. What you and I do privately affects other people. There's no doubt about it. We need to be reminded of that. It's very important. Christians, we need to be concerned about what's going on around us, and we have to stop being so, what's the word? I don't know what the word is. I don't think it's politically correct. But I'll give you two things that I inserted in my notes that are realities. When somebody says, as long as what's going on doesn't affect me, it's okay with me. You ever heard that? No. It's very popular to say that. All right. Okay. As long as what they're doing doesn't affect me, play this one out, because this is a real problem. This is real. When somebody says that, you need to keep this in mind. When a certain somebody drinks in private and gets drunk in private, what they do doesn't, as long as it doesn't affect me, they can do whatever they want to do. I understand what you're saying, I think, but watch this. When some stranger drinks in private and then goes out behind the wheel of a vehicle in public and kills your son, let me remind you, you said whatever he did in private, whatever he does, as long as it doesn't affect me, I don't care about it. Someone was sinning privately and then went public and killed a son. All of a sudden, what you would march down the street for to defend someone's rights in their own privacy, I understand that spirit, but it's not so black and white. Because when you take what's private and make it public, you can kill people.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Kingdoms in Conflict. It's a look at the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 9, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a series called Life and the Bible. It's taken from many parts of Scripture that contain practical wisdom on how to live and deal with the issues we experience in everyday life. So far, we've offered some of the DVDs in this series, Being a Christian in Your Relationships, Being a Christian at Your Job, and so forth. Well, now we're offering Being a Christian in Your Home. And for a gift of any amount, in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian in Your Home. It's part of the series called Life and the Bible. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and mention it by title, Being a Christian in Your Home. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And you can always visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.